Right, we made it midway through this photosynthesis chapter. I'll have easily enough time to finish this up, which will finish up the unit, of course, for Monday's exam. And last time we were talking about photosystems, I explained what a photosystem is and how it operates. Hopefully you remember that, because now we're going to look at how photosystems actually operate for the first part of photosynthesis. Now, photosynthesis has two parts, remember. What is the first part called?
The light reaction.
Right, or even better, the light-dependent reactions. And that's where these photosystems are used. In slide 11, what we're looking at is just one copy. There are billions of these in plants. But this is just one functional unit and structural unit of the light-dependent reactions. And it consists of two photosystems, but also some electron transport chains. First, let me say something about the photosystems. Notice that they are labeled as photosystem 2 on the left and photosystem 1 on the right, which you might think is preposterous. It would make a lot more sense to make photosystem 1 first and photosystem 2 the second. That's the order in which they operate, left to right. So it would make sense to call them photosystem 1 on the left, photosystem 2 on the right. But just by chance, that didn't happen because we named these things in the order in which we discovered them. And photosystem 1 happens to work second in the process, but we found it first and called it photosystem 1. So when I'm saying photosystem 2, I mean the first one. Photosystem 1 is the second one, okay? These are not identical photosystems. They have slightly different chlorophylls in the middle, in that reaction center that we talked about. But they work the same way. And as I said, there are some electron transport chains involved too. So between photosystem 2 and photosystem 1 is a complex of proteins operating as an electron transport chain. And then after photosystem 1, the second one, there's another electron transport chain. You don't see the anatomical detail here, but all of this stuff, the two photosystems and the two chains, are embedded in a thylakoid membrane of a chloroplast, right? The thylakoid membrane, remember, is the membrane that's green and looks like a little coin, folded into little coin-like structures called thylakoids, stacked in grana. So that's where we are anatomically. The purpose, remember, of the light-dependent reactions is to capture light, which is energy, and put it into a form that is usable for the second part of photosynthesis. What's the second part called? The light-independent reactions.
Also called like the Calvin cycle, right?
And the Calvin cycle, exactly. Either of those names is fine. The Calvin cycle is where the goal of photosynthesis is met. That's where the organic compounds are built using carbon from carbon dioxide as an inorganic source. And that is endergonic, anabolic. But endergonic means it requires energy to do that. Well, that energy for the Calvin cycle to operate has to be in specific forms. Two specific forms. You have to supply the Calvin cycle with energy in the form of NADPH and ATP, both. Not either, but both. That's the purpose of the light-dependent reactions. Since the Calvin cycle can't use light energy directly to power it, the light-dependent reactions receives light energy and stores it in the form of the energy-carrying compounds that the Calvin cycle requires, NADPH and ATP. All right, now, the electron transport chain that's between the two photosystems is not identical molecularly to the electron transport chains we already studied in the previous unit for cellular respiration. So it's, you know, the members are different molecules, but they operate exactly the same way and for exactly the same purpose. So think about what electron transport chains do in cellular respiration. Well, they transport electrons, right? Obviously, based on their name. But what does that transfer of electrons directly achieve or directly cause in cellular respiration? Yes, that happens. There is a gradual release of energy because of the transfer of electrons. And what does that release of energy cause? Why isn't it wasted, in other words? What is that release of energy used for directly? Right. The release of energy from electron transfer is used to power the members of the chain acting as pumps. And what kind of pumps? What are they pumping? Well, think about what's being transferred. That's electrons. Where did the electrons come from? In cellular respiration.
The transport molecules, right? The attack.
Well, I mean originally. Where did they come from? From glucose, and specifically what in glucose?
Hydrogens.
What else do you have in hydrogens besides electrons?
Protons.
That's what get pumped. So the electrons provide the energy to pump the protons. Both parts of the hydrogen atoms that are picked from the fuel are used. Okay? What does that pumping of protons lead to? Well, it's a creation of a gradient, right? And what is the big payoff of that gradient? What is the gradient of protons that's produced lead to? We're still in cellular respiration, how we're talking about this.
Didn't that allow us to produce
NADH? No, NADH has become reoxidized because it delivers the electrons to the chain to begin with. We're past that point. The electrons have already been transferred. The protons have already been pumped. What does that gradient do for the cell? The protons. Well, if you pump protons, what do they want to do after they're pumped?
They want to go back down through the gradient.
Exactly, by diffusion. They want to diffuse back to where they were pumped from. And what does that, and that happens in cellular respiration, but what does that directly cause?
The energy for it to spin.
For what to spin?
The motor.
The motor-like molecules that we call ATP synthase. Yes, that's the only places in the membrane where the protons can get back into the space they were pumped from, down their gradient. And that spinning of ATP synthase causes production of ATP, right? That was the goal in cellular respiration. All of that happens exactly the same way with this electron transport chain, just it's slightly molecularly different. But electron transports coming down this chain between the two photosystems causes a release of energy that powers pumps to pump protons from one side of the membrane to the other. It's just a different membrane now because we're in a different organelle. It specifically pumps protons from the stroma through the membrane to the intermembranes, I mean to the thylakoid space within the chloroplast. And then they want to diffuse back through the membrane into the stroma where they were pumped from. And when they do, the only place they are allowed through are ATP synthase molecules embedded in that same membrane, just like in a mitochondrion. And the result is ATP. That's why you have ATP coming out at the bottom here. That's not the overall, it's not the end goal But it's one of the two goals of just this part of photosynthesis, because this part of photosynthesis, the light-dependent reactions, is trying to supply both of the two energy-carrying molecules that part two needs. ATP is one of those. The second, shorter electron transport chain that's after photosystem one doesn't pump protons, doesn't create ATP. The electrons plus protons end up in this different fleet of taxis that we were talking about, NADP plus, our empty taxis. They get reduced by the electrons coming down this second chain, along with picking up protons, and that produces NADPH, NH plus, the other energy carrying requirement that part two needs. So the light reactions are supplying both energetic molecules, and the energy to make them comes from sunlight. This is a transduction step. Transduction is the conversion of energy from one form to another. And energy gets transduced from radiant energy or electromagnetic radiation, light, into reduced coenzymes, NADPH, and high energy nucleotides, ATP. Now let's look at how these photosystems operate in all of this. Let's actually start with photosystem one, even though it's the second one. It's easier for me to explain that way. As we've already said, when a photon strikes one of the pigment molecules in the photosystem one here, could be any one of them, the excitation gets passed from pigment to pigment via resonance energy transfer until the excitation eventually reaches the special pair of chlorophylls in the reaction center complex. And that one gets really excited, right? Excited to the point of actually having the electron completely removed from the pigment. That's the orange arrow here with the E minus. Where does the electron go? To the primary electron acceptor that's also part of that reaction center complex. And so we have reduced the primary electron acceptor. It is now carrying energy in the form of that electron that it received to become reduced. Well, it passes the electron off immediately to this shorter chain. And that's how NADP plus gets reduced, from electrons coming from the one lost by this special pair. When that special pair loses its electron to the acceptor, that is a very unstable situation. Even more unstable than under the normal situation of excitation. This electron is not coming back. It's going through the chain. But this pair doesn't care which electron it gets, they're all the same. It needs an electron back immediately, though. All right? So, what is the source of the electron that replaces the one lost here? Well, it's an electron that's coming down through the chain between the two photosystems. So, the same thing as far as excitation is happening in photosystem two, the first one. A photon strikes, excites it, resonance energy transfers the excitation to its special pair in its reaction center complex. It loses that electron, and that electron trickles down through the electron transport chain, powering pumps to make ATP along the way, but it also then ends up replenishing the electron lost from photosystem one. You see that? Okay, well, that leaves us with now a special pair of chlorophylls in photosystem 2 without an electron, because that electron is now gone. And it still has the same problem. It needs an electron, but there is no electron transport chain feeding it. So it needs an electron from a different source. And that source is water. This is why water is an input into photosynthesis. It's not about keeping the plant cells turgid because of osmosis. That's a totally different use of water. Here, water is a source of electrons and protons in the form of hydrogen. Compare that to cellular respiration, where we used electrons and protons from fuel, right? By picking off hydrogen atoms from fuel. And that allowed energy-carrying taxis to pick them up, right? Storing energy. Here, it's not fuel that's being burned to produce, to supply those electrons and protons. The electrons and protons come from hydrogen that is in water as an input into the light independent or the light dependent reactions. All right? That's what it uses water for, not because it needs the entire water molecule. It needs the hydrogens. And when the hydrogens get stripped from water by a special enzyme, what's left over is oxygen. That